The first lesson is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 3, beginning at the 11th verse. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you once again in the healing name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Most of us, I think, have been to some sort of a play in our lifetime. Maybe it was the play that our children or grandchildren were in, or maybe we had the opportunity to go up to New York City and see a Broadway play. But whichever it is, it's always an exciting time when you go to one of those things. You know, the expectation of what you're going to see, how the actual performance will play out compared to what you've heard about or what you've read about this particular play. And then when you go, you sit in your seat and you see this giant curtain that is covering over the stage area so that you can't see what's going on behind there. Anticipation builds as you wait. And pretty soon, the lights go dim and that big curtain opens so that you can see what's going on and the play begins. Well, with this going to the play scenario, we know that things are going to be revealed to us. And we joyfully anticipate that revelation. However, sometimes things are revealed to us that we don't anticipate. And probably it's going to be in some sort of a dramatic fashion. Take our gospel lesson today from the 24th chapter of Luke. His account of the Easter evening. Now, you have to understand that the disciples were in the upper room at that time. Jesus had risen from the dead, it was evening, and just then two men came in, all excited, because they had said that they saw the risen Jesus on the road as they were walking to Emmaus. Well, just as they were talking to the two men that came on the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself appeared in the room through the locked door. You can imagine what a dramatic revelation that was, because it wasn't anticipated. It was like Jesus had just opened the curtain to the resurrection, so to speak, to reveal that in fact he had risen from the dead. They could see him. They could touch him. They ate with him. Something that they couldn't do if he was a ghost. Now our text tells us that after that time, it says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will have to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now they understood what Jesus had been trying to tell them before his arrest. Previously, their minds were closed. They weren't open to receiving and processing and understanding this information that Jesus had given them. But now, they were open. Because you see, Jesus is in the opening business. I mean, think about it. He opened the tomb to prove that he defeated sin and death and the devil. It was just like he said it would be. It was just like the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms said it would be. And after his resurrection, while he was talking with the two men that were traveling to Emmaus, their minds were kept closed. Their eyes were kept closed, so they couldn't see who was really talking to them. However, when they sat down to eat and Jesus broke bread and gave it to them, Scripture tells us then their minds and their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? You see, we too have had our hearts opened by the Holy Spirit, so that we can believe all that the Scripture says about His life and His death and His resurrection. We know that our salvation was bought and paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus. And we know that since Jesus opened the tomb, entry into heaven is now open to those of us who have faith in Jesus. But not only that, God's own family is open to us who have faith in Jesus. As the Apostle John tells us in his Gospel, in chapter 1, he said, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." And John continued that message to us in our second lesson today from his first letter that he wrote. John said, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We have the right to become God's children. We have the right to inherit God's kingdom. All of the blessings and all of the riches and all of the abundance that God wants to give us, not only here, but in all eternity, is open to all of us who have faith in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is all about openings. Opening His heart because He loves us. And He's loved us since the beginning of time. Loving us so much that He would go to the cross to take away our sins. Loving us so much that He would send His Holy Spirit to open our minds, to open our hearts, to open our eyes to see who Jesus really is, the true Jesus. And so our question today for all of us is, are we open to Him? Are we open to His leading? Are we open to His calling? Are we open to His purpose for our lives? You see, the people that Peter and John were talking to in our first lesson from Acts, they were talking to people whose hearts were not open to the working of the Holy Spirit. You see, they saw this revelation, but they didn't understand it. They didn't believe that the name of Jesus could do that. They had seen a man that was lame from birth, and they knew him because they'd seen him all of their lives. And so they knew he was lame. But they saw this man healed strictly and simply through the power of the name of Jesus. And they were astonished. It was something they did not anticipate. But they did not believe. And so Peter had to call them out. He said, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see, whom you know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see." Now, he acknowledged that it was ignorance, it was closed-mindedness that kept them from seeing the true Jesus. But now, Peter invited them to allow the Holy Spirit to open their eyes, to open their minds, to open their hearts, to see Jesus as the true Messiah. Well, let me ask again. Are our hearts fully open to Jesus this morning? Now, most of us probably would say, well, yeah, of course they are. I mean, we're not ignorant. We know who Jesus is. We're called Christians, aren't we? But is there something missing? Is there a barrier blocking Jesus' way in our hearts this morning? Because maybe we don't seem to be living that rich life that God promises. And by rich, I mean abundant life, full of the blessings from God. Well, Peter suggests that maybe it's sin that's blocking God's way so that he can release overflowing faith, so that he can release the abundance of blessings, so that he can release overflowing joy in our lives. In our lesson, Peter says to the Jews that he was talking to, and he also is saying it to us this morning too. He said, "Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." The things that could be blocking the door to our hearts from being fully open to Jesus may be our sins. You see, the way to unblock that door and to allow the times of refreshing to come in from the Lord are daily confession and repentance. Confession of our sins and repentance, the turning away from those sins and turning back to God. Now, it's just my opinion, but it seems to me most of the time we got the confession part down. You know, we can confess our sins, truthfully. The repentance part might be a little bit trickier for all of us. You know, sometimes people have a tendency to think about repentance as, you know, maybe even a painful thing, maybe even something that should be avoided. Why? Why would people think that? Well, for one thing, if we're truly repentant, it means that we vow never to commit those sins again. And you know what? Sometimes, we might like a particular sin, even though we know it's contrary to what God wants for our lives. It may be something that temporarily brings us pleasure, even though we know in the long run it's going to lead to our destruction. Maybe it's some kind of addiction, something we're addicted to that's detrimental for us. Maybe it's something that we're just not ready to give up. And so, what do? Unfortunately, sometimes we give sort of lip service to God and say, "Yes, I confess. Yes, I repent." But we still hold on to those sins in the back recesses of our minds. You know, I remember as I was growing up in Pittsburgh, we were a Lutheran family in the midst of a Roman Catholic community. And I would have friends that were Catholic and, you know, they would brag about being, you know, doing some kind of sin. Maybe it was stealing something from the corner store, or maybe it was, you know, doing something to deface some property or break a window or something like that. And, you know, I'd question them about it. And they said, "Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I can go to confession on Friday and confess my sin." And then Monday morning, they're right back doing the same thing. And I never really understood that mindset. I guess at a young age, I knew that if we confess our sins, we're not supposed to do them again to the best of our ability. Our vow to turn or to repent should be meaningful. You know, another reason that we might want to avoid repentance, true repentance, is that there may be negative emotions attached to whatever it is that we want to repent. You know, emotions like guilt, or maybe embarrassment, or shame, or anger, or even pride. It may be that we're holding on to some deep, dark secret, or maybe we have a stubborn grudge that we just don't want to let go of, that we're not ready to bring ourselves to admit. Folks, God knows everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought. There is nothing that you could bring up to God for Him to help you get rid of that He doesn't already know. He wants us to acknowledge our sin and promise Him that we're going to genuinely try not to do it again. But you know what? We can't do it alone. And He will give us help to do just that. He'll send His Holy Spirit, who lives in us because of the faith that He's already given us to believe in Jesus. And that Holy Spirit will help us keep that promise. He'll warn us not to become involved in sin. He'll try to steer us away from those situations where temptation may be present. And even if we get into those situations where temptation is there, He'll give us the courage and He'll give us the strength to resist those temptations. He's that still small voice that we hear from our conscience, what we call conscience. And we need His help because our old self and the devil want us to give in to those temptations, want us to go back to those sins again and again. They don't want us to turn to God's way of doing things. They want us to go their way. And we need His help. We can't do it alone. But we can get His help if we ask Him in prayer. I mean, in just a few minutes, we're going to say a prayer. And that prayer, part of that prayer says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And don't allow us to go into temptation, but deliver us from evil." When we say that prayer, when we believe what we're saying, when we actually reach out and honestly talk to God, and we ask for His help, He's going to send His help. But we've got to be open to listening to His Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus died to take away our sins. And John wrote in our second lesson today, he said, "Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He, Jesus, appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him, there is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous." You see, when we're open to Jesus working in our hearts, then we're open to doing what is right, which is not sinning. When we do what is right, it is credited to us as righteousness. That's what we want. We want to be righteous in the eyes of God. Now, we have been given Jesus' righteousness because of His defeat of sin and death and the devil, and because we've been given faith to believe that Jesus did in fact raise from the dead, we don't want to diminish that sacrifice or tarnish it in any way. Abundant joy and relief comes to us when we confess our sins, when we repent or turn in a true and tangible way. Forgiveness flows to us when we experience the wonderful grace and mercy that flows to us by our loving God. And so I urge you this morning, open your hearts more and more to Jesus. Seek His help. Bring your heavy burdens to Him. Seek His forgiveness. Turn from our old sinful lifestyle. And then we'll experience not only abundant blessings in this life, but we can look forward to the opening of the next life, our eternal life. Jesus has prepared that life for us. Just as we sat in joyful anticipation of the opening of that curtain at the play that we were at, we can anticipate another glorious opening that Jesus has in store for us. When we see Him face to face and His arms are wide open to welcome us into the open gates of eternal heaven, Jesus has prepared that for us because He loves us so much. And we can anticipate the opening of that curtain, that final curtain, because won't that be a glorious day? Amen? Amen.